hungry for adventure.
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold, Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama, a cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at DungeonsandDoritos.com.
The following program is presented by The Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 143, and I am your stupid, awesome analyst, John Star. And with me is the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
And we have our king baby duck, Evan.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches.
And Elite Four, Derek.
Bonjour, my sir.
Bonjour. So.
Buongiorno.
We.
Grazie.
So this episode, we are at the end of the spring season of anime, and we are saying farewell to a whole bunch of really awesome shows that happened this season. There were a lot of shows that came out this season, but very few of them were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
agreed.
Like, Wiki's worthy amazing?
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you on that one. I feel like I watched more anime this season than the previous one. But I feel like the majority of the stuff that I watched they're not like the type that's worthy about talking about, you know?
Yeah. But this, now what we have is we are going to start speculating on what is to come in the next couple weeks. If you're listening to this recording, the new season of anime for the summer has already started. But we are going to be speculating what's going on for this season right now while we're, you know, while we're at it.
While we're gearing up.
That's a good way of putting it. So, let's get into it and let's start with some news.
Oh, I didn't bring News Belch on again.
Again?
Well, you know, if I did this at my house,
man,
it would
Whistlecoon's
be a lot
sad.
No. I'm sad because it's been like weeks and now we think of her, this inanimate object, as a thing that has a soul.
Why didn't they take me?
Oh! It's like, hurt that it has a soul, but you still call it a thing.
There is something fundamentally wrong about that, but we still
that
have
silence is where more bells should have rung.
All right, let's talk about some anime news.
Nudes?
Nudes.
Anime nudes.
Anime nudes?
Send news.
Evan, what do you have for us today?
Oh, it's just some interesting movie news about a certain little anime that I know most of us here have watched and loved to death.
Sword Art Online.
That is, Derek and my roommate love Sword Art Online, and I feel so bad that he doesn't know better anime than that.
Love is a strong word. I'm intrigued by it. It's
not him. No, I'm talking about Raph the
Ref. Oh, yeah.
So, who I think should be on the show maybe in the near future. But no, I'm talking about one of the greatest anime comedies of the last couple years, and that is Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World.
That's right. There's going to be a movie for... Did it specify exactly what part of the light novel series it's going to be covering?
It has not they haven't announced yet which part of the light novels. But if I am to speculate, and I'm hoping, they are going to be adapting Volume 5, which is the story of when the gang goes to Mega Man and Yun Yun's birthplace. And it's really funny. Because I've been reading the light novels outside of what's been shown in the anime, and the material in the stuff is fantastic. Like, I'm hoping that they can find a way to continue telling the story in anime form, but I was reading in an interview that the original light novel guy said he wouldn't be upset if they never do any other anime adaptations because he feels the anime has done its job by promoting his light novel stuff.
Well, that's good. It sounds like that it's caught some traction, or at least enough traction to keep him afloat that he can keep writing and doing what he loves, but he doesn't have to go through the stress of, you know, being a kind of a anime creator as well, which I know can be rough on the creators themselves because they change so much content, either stuff that can't be animated or stuff that, you know, is just, well, for a lack of a better term, Hollywooded all over.
Pretty much, and if for some examples of that within the anime realm, look at episodes of Shirobako, Girlish Number, and even A Sister's All You Need. They all touch on those sorts of things.
Yeah, actually, I think Girlish Number was the best example of it. Although the Shirobako one was a pretty darn good example. Especially
that was more Western-based animation, though. A lot of anime isn't really done like that in Japan itself.
No, that's true, but it just... specifically the part where the producer is going to the anime studio is in like the cowboy getup, and
I think the best example based in reality of that is still what was that dumbass anime?
Girlish Number.
No. I'm talking about one. What? I loved Girlish Number.
Yeah, I actually didn't like Girlish Number. I dropped it after like 5 episodes.
Oh, I thought that show was great. I finished it. I'm talking about the show with the lolis and going to the fantasy world. I can't even remember the name of it because I hated it so
Death
much.
March to a Parallel World
Death
Rhapsody.
March, yes, Death March.
The guy who dropped it 2 episodes in remembers it, but the guy who watched the entire thing doesn't.
Yeah, because it was so memorable. That show was the basis of, hey, we have this guy who has a light novel, and it's really bad, but we're going to animate it because it's really, really famous amongst the web crowd. Right?
Yeah, the weebs in the whatever Japanese crowd.
You know, so that's kind of just a good example of when light novels get put into practice and then put into animation, and then it's just like, well, here's the result of this. There's another one coming out this season.
Another
isekai.
Oh, okay.
And
the
and
one,
it's literally the same premise. And I can't believe it.
It's not the slime one, right?
No. It's a show. It's on the Annie chart list.
Is it this
that
one?
That one. Read the premise.
Gyakuren no How Sekaiu no Valkyria. Some urban legends are best left untested. Yuto Sho gets more than he bargains for when he joins his childhood friend Mitsuki Shimuya in testing out an urban legend. When he uses his phone to take a picture of himself with the local shrine's divine mirror, he is whisked off into another world, one heavily steeped in the lore of the old Norse myths. Using his knowledge gained from school and his solar... why won't you scroll? There we go.
Solar-powered smartphone. Oh my gosh, he's in another world with his smartphone.
He has...
Again!
He has the chance to bring the Wolf Clan, the same people who cared for him, the prominence, all while earning the adoration of a group of magic-wielding warrior maidens known as the Einherjar. It's the worst, guys. This is, like, this is...
Remember that Flork of Cows comic I sent you? Yeah, can you give me just a bag of zippers and some women that will just love me for no reason whatsoever? Gee, thanks.
Yeah.
That's this anime.
It's so bad I know it's its own genre now, but it's not creative, and none of them have been good. You know? Sword Art Online was really the one that kind of kicked it off and got it started going, and then Log Horizon came shortly after that. But then it was just like this snowball effect of just all these other stories, because everybody was like, oh my gosh, Sword Art Online's so popular, I'm going to write my own light novel series about the same premise, except it's going to be like in a real fantasy world, not a video game fantasy world. And it's just strange. So now we have another one. That's completely off topic. What were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about the Konosuba movie.
Yes.
Yeah, which is the much better isekai.
We were talking about light novels.
Yeah, well, yeah, we talked about light novels.
It's because
it's
a parody of isekai.
Yeah, it's basically him going, well, this is what's wrong with your genre.
And they don't care. Nobody cares. As long as there's underage boobs, then nobody cares.
Yeah, and smut and, you know, a harem of lolis, then then otakus will love it. They'll love it. Yeah,
they'll love it. But we should point... We should point out that it's going to be the same cast, the same staff, but they're doing it over at GC staff instead of Studio Dean.
Yay. Yeah, that's pretty cool, because we were discussing this on the phones.
I have to draw how many frames a second for movies?
Studio Dean was just like, that's just way too much work for us. We only delve into subpar animation, I thank you very much. You know, we would very much like
a movie. I don't think so.
We don't have enough South Koreans and Filipinos to draw that many frames.
All right, what else do we got?
Well, there's another movie that's going to be opening up very soon here in America, and that is the other film from Masaki Yuasa, which is Night is Short, Walk On Girl, which that's has right. been winning many awards at film festivals all across the world. So there's going to be just a... At first, what it sounds like there's going to be a two-day preview screening on August 21st and 22nd. But then the following... or actually, on that Wednesday, too, it's going to be opening up at various other places for a wider screening. So I'm hoping that maybe it'll come to the Kendall Square, Cambridge, like the other one, Lou Over the Wall, did.
Mm. Yeah, see, I don't know. I'm seriously... The next movie I'm waiting for is Mirai no Mirai.
Yep. That's... I'm guessing that's going to be a fall release from what the G-Kids people told me.
It seems likely, and that's okay. That's good. But, man, Mirai of the Future is what I'm really waiting for. Holy cow.
Yes.
I'm waiting for this movie called Dragon Ball Super, the movie. They actually did just release that Frieza is going to be in the movie, so...
Is Goku going to be in the movie?
I'm not sure. They're teasing it. I mean, he takes up like 30% of the shot time for the commercials.
See,
so it could go either way.
Nobody's actually going to care what characters are in it. The movie is actually starring a single Kamehameha wave for an hour and a half.
It's like the Shooting Stars meme or something.
It's like a Naruto film. There's no characters in it. It's just a Rasengan in the last 30 seconds that everybody masturbates over.
Oh, wait. That's the sound of the audience 30 seconds
just leads before the off movie. With the eternal dragon going, your wish is granted.
Okay, what do we got? What do we got next?
All right, so My Hero Academia news, a brand new spin-off series.
Yeah, the newest announcement for My Hero Academia was that the next spin-off that was going to come out was My Hero Academia, starring all the female characters of My Hero Academia. I really don't think it needs that. I think that the original My Hero Academia has such a great balance between all of the characters already in the show that they don't need one that's specifically for the female cast.
I totally agree, but the female cast are the most popular characters of the show because they're absolutely adorable.
Well, sure. I mean,
it's going to make money.
As long as you just admit that it's marketing, then okay, you can have this. Yeah.
We're just going to get tons of Froppy. We're going to get tons of Uraka. It's going to be fantastic. People are going to be making doujins of this for years on end. Everyone's going to love it.
See, but I think that what makes My Hero Academia work so well is the fact that there's a mix between all of the characters that are involved now. So if they get rid of half of the cast, meaning all the male characters, then that dynamic might still be there, but it's missing a component that links it all together.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, oh, it's going to be a bad show because they're getting rid of all the males. No female can make a good show. I'm not saying that. Yeah. What I'm saying is that all...
I was actually thinking that you were saying the opposite. It was like, they're taking out the girls. No one's going to watch this now.
Well, no, no, no.
It's a series that seems like it's never seemed like it's boys versus girls. Everyone seems like they're on the same footing. And to kind of throw that gender thing in there and be like, and now the girls are going to have an adventure. It's like,
granted.
Why?
Yeah, granted.
They're already having adventures with everyone, you know what?
Yeah, granted. The character that Rarika has turned into, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but her recent character arc in the manga for like the past
two or three volumes
has only solely been on her contemplation on whether or not she likes Midoriya. And that's it.
Which she does.
So she's kind of flattened out into a one note. So if they do this spinoff series, I hope that they get away from, do I like boys? You know, like,
I'm more into girls.
What is this feeling I have? Why am I frozen?
What is it about Floppy's tongue that makes me salivate?
But,
everything about it.
But, no, that's a good point. You know, Ararika's character has turned into this one-note character, which I hope doesn't stay. I don't mind it because I think it's cute. Like, you know, it's a cute little aspect of her.
But she's not developing.
Right, exactly, but she's not continuing to develop. You know, it's fine that she's focusing on liking Midoriya, but they're not, like, sprinkling it in. It's literally every panel she's in is just like, Do I like him? It's just like, yes, you do. Just say yes, you like him, and then we can move on.
Yeah.
You know? So. But that's
just
not...
fucking say it!
Yeah, but that's not a spoiler or anything, because that's not even the main content of the upcoming manga.
Yeah, Dojins will tell you that.
You spoiled the fact that she has feelings for him? Oh, no.
So, My Hero Academia heroine arc or series spinoff, is it necessary? No. Everybody's going to be watching My Hero Academia no matter what.
Will we buy it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Ribbit.
Kano. All right, so the next news story. Uh-oh. It's a horse girls news.
See, we're gonna run out of this horse girl news stuff.
It's
eventually
really
because
sad.
The next season's starting and there's no horse girls.
And it's gonna be all about badminton.
No, it's gonna be about beach volleyball. We haven't gotten there yet.
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
You know how badminton could be better? Horse girls.
In a recent interview, the producer of Uma Musume, Junosuke Ito, said that if the show gets popular enough and if the video game gets popular enough, they will bring back Uma Musume for another season.
Yes.
So what that means is it's going to get another season.
Yeah.
Did he explain why he laid the crap sand? I'm sorry. The very different episode that was episode 13, we shall say. I have feelings about that. I hate that that's the one I'm all up in arms about, is episode 13 of Horse Girls. But I am mad about that episode.
I'm not up in arms about it. I just feel like it was episode 13 because that's what we were contracted to. And the whole, yay, all the main characters are racing one another. Which one of them won?
All of them.
And none of them. Like, it's just like, oh, no.
Everyone's a winner and everyone's a loser.
It was just
that
weird.
That moment where your anime thinks you're stupid.
Yeah. Your anime thinks you're dumb. That's right.
Your anime thinks you're watching My Little Pony. Everyone's a winner.
Yay!
I do
16 way tie, or what was it? 24 way tie.
I think it's
which
really
is
cool.
Never has it. Has there ever been a tie in a race? In
not
a horse
that.
Race?
No, we're not even gonna bring in ties because 24 way tie is so ridiculous that it just shouldn't even be talked about. They could have ended it at 12, and it would have been an awesome cliffhanger and been like, I wonder what happens if they race. Well, you saw it, and guess what? They all friggin' win. Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry.
It was just the millennials were very upset that one horse girl had to win every episode, so they were like, okay, everybody wins and everybody gets a trophy.
This is the episode that they would have, like, you know, they would have ended it at 12, and then there would be a petition. Bring it back for one more episode. Bring back that last race. And then years later, they would do that episode, and people would be like, okay, that kind of sucked.
Yeah.
No, they so at least, like, it got that out of the way.
Yeah, they cut to the chase. Like, we'll just throw it out next week there.
but hopefully that won't be the last episode, because...
Like, yes.
Because here's the thing. Like, we know that Umamusume is popular over here and even over in Japan. We know that when the game officially launches in Japan, a lot of people are going to download it.
I will forgive them if Season 2, Episode 1 starts with a dream bubble popping above a special week, and that whole 13th episode being a dream.
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't it have been Trainer-san?
Oh yeah, the Trainer-san.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I just wish they all could win.
It was more than his horses. Like, otherwise it would have just been Spica. Yeah, but even still, it's anime.
Yeah, I know.
There has to be some form of masturbatory material for the fans. I will say it was really cool because Wicked Fan Haru got a hold of us last week, and he sent us a YouTube video that somebody had compiled footage of all the horses that are featured in Umamusume.
Yep.
Where he popped up, or where the video pops up the anime character. And then shows actual Japanese race footage of these things, of these horses winning. And holy crap, I had no idea that Special Week really would have done that, come from last and just sped like at least a 2 or 3 second lead at the very end. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so anime. I can't believe they would do this. You know, and oh, it's cool. Yeah, Special Week wins. But no, like in real life, in Special Week's real races, she was in last place and would drift all the way up to the front and win with a 2 or 3 second lead.
Now that you say drift, I'm now picturing like Special Week getting into a car and just initial D-ing everybody.
And then Silent Suzuka was in the video as well. And Silent Suzuka would just basically stay out in front the whole time and then get like a 5 second lead out of everybody. It was incredible. It was a really cool video. So thank you, Haru. Thank you for sending that. I really enjoyed it. That's neat.
Yeah.
It was neat.
I should also make the point, too, that the producer of Umamusume is also hoping to add the more recent horses into the horse girl lore that we've been seeing on television, yeah, especially with the Triple Crown winners.
Yeah, I would actually hope that if a season 2 of Umamusume happened, that none of the original characters are in it.
And and Special Week is dead.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
yeah.
But if it's a new cast of characters and it doesn't just continue on with the same story, because I think this story is told. This story has been told. It's been over. Now let's do a different cast. That would be great.
Yep.
Maybe it's like the next generation. Yeah. Like, these are the horse girls that were from the offspring of the previous horse girls, and like the previous horse girls are now training their daughters to be racing.
Offspring.
But there's that one. But there's that one horse girl that wants to be something other than a racer.
She wants to be Hokage. But if the horse girls have daughters, that means that they've had sex. What?
So much fan fiction. That can't happen.
Yeah.
Because then all the fans will say, no, they're not single for me.
That's right. Yeah. So much fan fiction would be written and spoiled at the same time. So that can't happen. So that can't happen.
Yep.
Listeners, what horse girls do you want to see? Please give us a reason to keep our streak alive so we can keep talking about horse girls.
It's fun and educational.
All right, so we've got some... Well, I have the summer anime news, but let's save that for when we're actually talking about summer hopefuls, okay?
Yep, sure.
So, I got some OVA news. We've got two anime from this past winter that are coming back with special OVA episodes. We have School Babysitters.
Good.
Yes.
And we have Takagi-san, or Karakai Jozu no Takagi-san, which was one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was a really good show. Another one that I actually want to add to that I actually have in my library now, is, and I hated the show, there's an OVA episode of Show Bitch. of my girlfriend is Show Bitch.
I saw clips of it. It actually looks pretty funny.
Yeah, an OVA came out that I hated that show, man. It was so bad, but I watched the whole thing from beginning to end. Like, it was just the worst.
It was a
show.
I liked it. But it was like so I gave it 4 out of 5 stars when it was like up to episode 8, but thinking back, I would have probably taken away half a star. I mean, I liked it, but it wasn't like the funniest anime sex comedy you could find. I think the Takagi-san one comes out this season, and Gakuen Babysitters comes out in the fall.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I don't really know what they could do with both of those series. I would just prefer that they continue the story. I really don't like it when OVAs are just like, this is a thing that happened in between, even though the story is way far ahead of this.
Yep.
Right. You know, like, I just...
Well, the thing about Karakai Jozono Takagi-san is that there is a spin-off manga which focuses on Nishikata and Takagi-san being married and having a daughter.
Yes.
And it's from the original creator. I would love to see that be adapted into another season.
That would make a great OVA. You would have everything said and done the way that it needed to be said in a short OVA, and that's all you need for it, and I'd be happy with that. Mm.
Oh, we should also mention that Laid Back Camp is getting an OVA episode, too.
That's right.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yes.
By the way, I was in New Hampshire this weekend for a wedding, and I went to this very remote part of New Hampshire for the wedding, and there were campsites everywhere.
And you're scoping it out.
I am, because it is beautiful up there. Like, I hate camping, but I would love to try camping at one of these places.
As long as you have, like, a camper.
Yeah. They're gorgeous.
No, we're going to get one of those Laid Back Camp official campers with the Deshko's big face on the side.
Wait, is that a thing?
Nope, that is a thing.
Oh, neat. I didn't know that. I thought you were making like an Oscar Mayer Wiener mobile joke or something like that. But
No.
It's real? Okay.
Nope, there is a tent that you could buy that has the Laid Back Camp girls on there.
Can you turn it inside out so they can watch you while you sleep?
And other things.
What?
No other things.
Trapping in the
no.
woods.
That is a clean series.
It is a clean series.
Except
it's a very nice series.
The alcoholic teacher is responsible for children.
except for that the OVA that's coming out is like a summer beach OVA. It's kind of
ruins the whole effect.
Yeah.
Well, watch those. You'll probably see none of those clips in the actual anime. It's just they just did that just as a joke, but then it's just going to be like another regular episode of Laid Back Camp.
Yeah, it's going to be cold outside again. That's the whole thing. This series is the exact opposite of a moe series that's fan servicey because it takes place during the winter, so everybody's wearing more clothes.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to take odds on whether or not they set up a little camp area on the beach, but then the tide rolls in, so they have to do a rescue mission of all their goods?
I would like that. That's
right there.
I'm putting my money on one of them gets Lyme disease from a tick. In Japan, that's only in like Sweden and here, because Lyme disease actually came from Sweden. Fun fact, and their deer ticks. We have deer ticks here. Those are bear ticks in Sweden.
Wow.
Yeah,
are they bigger?
I don't think so.
Bear sized?
Oh man, that would be horrifying.
Could you imagine a bear?
Actually, I think that would be less scary because then that couldn't bite you and be a microscopic.
They would just impale you and
kill
you right away.
Exactly. Ah.
That's how Terraformer started.
I call bullshit. Bear tick is a Pokemon.
Are you ready for some strange news?
Strange news already?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we found ourselves a brand new sport that all of us could could enter. Japan holds an annual contest on who can angrily flip a tea table the farthest.
I am in. I'm so in. Oh my god.
I am in too.
Evan and I have already talked, and I am not flipping the table right now, even though I really want to. But this computer and microphone are on it.
So tempting.
But here's the thing. It's not the technique of flipping that they are measuring. It's how far or how high the plastic flying fish or the plastic fish that is resting on the table goes. That's how they measure the best table flipper.
So and is it how high or how far, or is it how high and far?
I'm going to say It says as far as they can, so as far as it can go.
And I'm guessing that the rules will probably say that you have to start on your knees and you can't go onto your feet. Like, you can't use your feet as momentum. You probably have to do it from your knees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all upper body, shoulder, and back, and arm strength.
You know, there mm-hmm. really is a technique to flipping a table to fling a piece of fish as far as you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
That actually sounds like it's pretty challenging. And
it's kind of like jazz. It's not about flipping the table. It's about moving the pieces on the table as you flip it.
Mm-hmm. So when you flip it, you're supposed to, like, belt out a phrase of anger, hope, or passion while you're doing it.
Sure!
And this year's winner was Shinya Chiba, a member of the Iwate Big Bulls basketball team. He reportedly shouted, "Go Big Bulls!" while sending the fish 8.29 meters or 27.2 feet from his position.
Good for him. What would you yell?
Go Big Bulls.
All right, so what, everybody here, what would you yell? What would be your phrase if you...
We should be like... Stop watching anime and get a job!
Yeah. Mine would probably be, Fully Cool, you didn't need a season 2!
That's my waifu!
Kamehameha.
That would be great if it was just like, oh crap, here comes the foreign team. Like, it's...
No. So the other... thing of strange news I have, and this is a facepalm sort of strange news. Survey shows that 1 in 20 otaku only take a bath once a week.
Oh, some good statistics for you right there.
Is this, wait,
take a bath? Okay, so wording, I take showers.
So both bath and shower.
Okay,
counts. All right.
And this is Japanese otaku? And
yes, this is Japanese otaku.
Okay.
And it has a picture of three Japanese girls holding their noses. And
oh, that is awesome stock photo.
Yeah, that is stock.
I was pretty sure that was just a stock
image. I would like to imagine that it still has like the
stock watermark across
it. Yeah, all over it that just says Getty Images.
And
so,
because people are just like, we don't care that it has that. They steal it.
No, actually, those were the three women in Japan who were offended by this. They lined them up in front of a white backdrop, and they all held their nose in disgust.
I have to applaud them. It is, one bath a week is more than otaku do here.
It's probably average.
Yeah. So here is the... So just keep in mind, it's 1 in 20, so it's a small percentage, because thankfully, I have the whole results here, 81% say they wash or shower every single day.
Okay.
Good on you. So 10% say roughly every other day, because it's a hassle, that's 10%. Yeah. And then 4% said 2 or 3 times a week, but I don't smell bad. They claim they don't smell bad.
I love how they put the excuse in there for them. We know how you're going to answer.
Well, it depends on how active they are, I guess. I mean, if they're just sitting in their room all day long, but it's hot, they could be sweating.
Still get greasy.
Oh, I know you do.
Still get greasy.
I understand.
Yep, but they don't smell bad.
But they don't smell bad.
They probably can't smell their own hair. Like, on top of their head. I think that dirty hair is like the
grossest. Then you just have to worry about people taller than you.
Mm-hmm. So that was actually, so I have to make a correction, because that was just a post for people taking literal baths. So you were right.
It's literal baths.
So for baths and showers, every day, 90%, roughly every other day, 6%, 2 or 3 times a week, 2%, and once a week or less, 2%.
Yeah, because, so that's 150. I would be a 0% bath taker. Because I only take showers. Who's time for a bath?
You see, I wish I could take baths, but I'm too tall for that.
Remember, culturally,
I know.
Culturally, we're speaking here. Very different. It's very common for a bath to happen every single day in a Japanese home.
Yeah, because they got the whole room dedicated to it.
Yeah.
I've been in them. They're beautiful.
They are amazing. Yeah. No, I wish I had one of those at my apartment. Our apartment specifically.
Yeah. So remember, it's a factual statement to say that none of us have bathed in the near past at all.
I haven't had a bath for years.
Yep. You see, if we had like one of those like jacuzzi baths, you know I would be taking one every single day.
With the jets on high.
Jets on high, yes.
Super high.
How else would you take a jacuzzi bath? I'm just going to set it to low.
I want my back to bleed.
I want to look like I'm boiling.
I'm waiting to take a bath when I get transported to a fantasy world, and I'll just find myself a nice waterfall with a pond at the bottom of it, and that's when I'll meet my wife.
Yeah, that's when there will be a dark-skinned elf in there mistakenly taking a bath, and you'll be like, ah, and she'll be like, ah.
And then she'll punch you through a wall. Forever.
Yep.
Does anybody else have any contributions?
Well, I did find it interesting that there is a crackdown on video game bars in Japan recently.
Yes, I do remember you sending me that link.
Kind of reading into it, it does make sense, though, because a lot of it is due to the copywriting of console video games.
Oh, man, I was right. Oh, I see, yeah.
Yep, and so this, you know, different rules for like actual arcade machines versus setting up home consoles in bars and having it played, because you need to have, I guess, written permission or just the rights to have that game from the actual producers. And apparently, reading into this, there have been many written requests from these companies saying, hey, cut this out or do this the right way. Nothing. So now there are some bar owners that are actually starting to get arrested because of non-compliance with this.
That is really strange, because, you know, you don't have that here in the United States because it's a public place and video game consoles are public property. Well, I mean, unless you own it, you know, so if you take it and you put it into a bar, I don't know, do you have to have licensing for that here in the United States?
Because, like, there's a video game bar in Salem.
Yes, Bit Bar.
Yeah, so thinking about that, though, the only console game that they have is Super Smash Brothers, but that's the only game they do not charge for.
Well, they also have Mario Kart Double Dash, which they also don't charge for.
Yeah, so I think I'd have to look and see if these bars in Japan were charging money for the console games or not, and that's how
that would change
Bit Bar is getting around it. Yeah,
that would be a very important factor to this. So if they were paying to play a console that they own, which is like, hey, you're paying for... It's almost as if you were selling video games.
You're advertising your product by using my product without my permission.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's illegal.
Yes.
That makes a lot more sense to me than...
And the fact that I guess they'd send written requests saying stop doing this multiple times. I think it said since 2011 these letters have been coming. So
how do they find this out? Do they actually send... Does Nintendo send spies into every video game bar to play and say, like, hey, are they making you pay money to play these video games?
Probably.
I mean, I suppose they could do that, but depending on how many video game bars there are... I mean, there might not be many. It is possible.
I mean, it might be funded by the companies, too. You know, hiring their own, you know, like, okay, go see if these, you know, if our games are being played in these establishments. And then see what we can do from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe if they're letting people play for free, it could be a different story. But if they're charging it, that's when they're saying, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Let's wrap up the spring season of anime with what we're watching.
Yep, or what we're finishing, rather.
Or what we did watch.
What we did watch. Oh. So, I'll start. I finished Megalobox.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that is... I wrote it for my article for this season, and I think that's my pick for this season. It is great. If you haven't watched Megalobox, man, the ending was awesome. It was such, like, a... just a really great sports series.
Yeah, I still haven't watched Megalobox.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. Anybody who's interested in... I mean, like, you don't even have to be interested in sports anime to watch a really good anime. But this one has a little bit of a hook when you have guys with machine arms, you know, in the boxing ring. Mm. Adds a little bit to it that's got that little bit of flavor. Real nice.
So amongst all the anime that I've been watching, you know, I got to see the end of Amanchu, which was really good.
It was good, but I will say that I was a little bit disappointed about some of the more dream-based episodes. I was hoping it would be a little bit more of the scuba diving stuff.
As far as the ending goes, though, the ending was good.
But oh, no, I agree. The ending was great.
Some of the episodes in between were very strange.
So I didn't finish Amanchu. I fell off of Amanchu because of the dream sequence.
Yeah, it was a little slow because of that, and I was much more interested in the facts about scuba diving. But I actually found that some of the dream sequence episodes were really good.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed them. It's hard to muster up interest when it's not about scuba diving,
which is what happened to me.
Yeah, but the episodes themselves are actually really good.
But I find it really interesting that Amanchu, like in the first season, they were able to do episodes that were about nothing but made it feel fantastic. So it's weird to see like episodes that are about something other than scuba diving, which are the dream sequences, and not being as strong as the episodes about nothing.
But the show that I wanted to get to, because, I mean, like I said, there's a few that ended, and I don't think any of us... And I think I'm the only one that watched Wotakoi, or Love is Hard for Otaku.
Mm-hmm.
That show... That Jessica wrote her article on that one, and that was probably the best show this season. One of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. It was amazing. And the last episode was pretty weak, but they are pretty positive they're going to continue making that series. The season ender was a really confident, we're going to come back with another season.
Mm-hmm.
And then Comic Girls, me personally, that was what I wrote my article on this season, and I'm going to stick to it. I really enjoyed Comic Girls. I know everybody's really disappointed they didn't talk about manga enough, which they didn't. But there was enough manga stuff in it that was really cool to hear about. But the experiences of the characters and the fact that the characters were so dang cute really helped, and I really, really, really enjoyed it as a show overall. And I thought the ending was really good.
I will say that, because I know I wrote my review about Comic Girls. I gave it three stars out of five. I will say that the ending was really, really good.
And then I also finished Magical Girl Sight, which the ending was also kind of very much we expect to do a second season. But the ending was just bizarre. Because it didn't end, really. It just ended with a cliffhanger of, oh, there's more than what you think it is. The end. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. But overall, it was a really good Tragical Girl show.
Unfortunately, as much as I'm trying to avoid keeping talking about this, my pick for this season is Dragon Ball Super. I mean, Umamusume. I can go between either, but just based on how the show's lined up, I gotta go Umamusume, because Dragon Ball just kind of said like "f you" to seasons, like how everything else is lined up. It's like, we're just gonna throw out episodes here, or there, whenever we finish writing them, whatever. So Umamusume, I did actually. It was cutesy, but it had a lot of great stories in there, and you were actually rooting for.
Easily, one of the most surprising shows we've ever watched.
Yeah,
this Umamusume, yes, goes on. Probably the top of my list of I thought this was going to be stupid, but I loved it to death. Like, it was such a good show. It was
So my pick of this season would be all 12 episodes of Umamusume. I can't wait to see them race someday.
Well, Fooly Cooly is still happening, which is the end of the season.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now that we've gotten to see a couple more episodes,
it's pretty tragic.
It's getting worse, guys.
Yeah, it's tragic.
Getting worse.
Really?
I'm enjoying it.
I'm liking it too. And I think the fourth episode was the most in spirit of the original series.
So I agree. The fourth episode was the best episode that they've put out so far. But it still makes me ask, what?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. It's starting like really obscure and really vague, and it's kind of slowly funneling down, and episode 4 is kind of giving it a lot more shape now, and you kind of know where it's going, but there's still so many questions in there.
Yeah, and honestly, it's just, I just think it's depressing and tragic, because I watch an episode, I'm like, yeah, sure, that's great, but why? And because it really doesn't feel like they're trying to make it fully cooly. And as cool as it is that they're like, oh, we want to try to make it original and something new, it just doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. And I just find myself confused. At the end of every episode, I'm a little confused because I want to know what's happening and I want to like it, but it's too clean and it's too coherent, but it's coherent and it makes no sense. Where the first one was like, it makes no sense and it's really enjoyable to watch because there's kind of a story happening.
Yeah.
This one is like, look how clean and put together it is, and it doesn't make sense, which just makes it make no sense.
And it kind of makes it boring.
A little boring. Say, yeah. I will say the two boys, like the two friends of Ida, they're pretty much useless. Like,
yeah,
what, the one who had
the skirt,
the fake girlfriend.
Oh yeah. Although I'll admit that was pretty funny.
It was funny, but it's like, that's not fully cooly. I mean, yeah, that's like a kind of cute scenario, but it's like, oh.
And see, so episode 4 was the best one so far. Episode 5 premieres tonight. But the question is, that we're trying to answer is, who is the guy with the red hair and the hat? Right?
I'm thinking it's the guy with the giant eyebrows from season 1.
Commander Amaro?
Yeah, Commander Amaro.
Yeah, I think yes, it is too. And the reason why he's wearing the hat? He doesn't have the eyebrows anymore.
Yeah, something like that. But I would have figured he would have been a lot older. And he actually seems younger than Amaro. And
he has a hold of Lord Conti's lifeless robot body.
Yeah. Spoilers, I guess. But we don't even know what's going on, so that's not really a spoiler. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, right. We don't have the answer to why he has it or anything like that. So
he just does.
Yeah, I don't know.
And especially because it just showed it. It wasn't just like, and it's Lord Conti. It wasn't even that. It was just there.
It was just
like, yeah, there he is.
It's
just Lord Conti's body.
They mentioned the crucifix.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they didn't mention that the plant that the girl gives him is somehow connected to Lord Conti.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Apparently, they planted his legs in dirt or something.
I wonder if Adamus' spirit is in the plant. That's kind of what it's random. It's a totally random thought to think that, but I wonder if the reason why he's looking for the plant is because Lord Conti is, you know, lifeless and on this weird cross thing, and maybe Adamus' spirit is in the plant, and because we know that. So the major thing that's bugging me about Fooly Cooly right now is the show is trying to be mysterious by being vague. You know, every conversation that Haruko has with what's her name, the new chick that's in the show, they always say that thing or he, or they never refer to anything by name. It's always a vague pronoun that they use,
which they didn't do in the
universe. Which they didn't need to do. And it's just like, okay, I understand that you're trying to hide something, but you're so blatantly trying to hide something that I just don't care. Just tell me.
Yeah, you're being mysterious to the point where it's stupid.
Yeah, where it's annoying and stupid.
Yeah.
So, you know, especially because they put, like, the emphasis on, he said that. Oh, you're looking for that thing. And it's just like, I get it. Like, you're trying to be vague. Like, what are you talking about?
You're so vague. Yeah. I bet you think the show is about you. Don't you? Don't you?
We did actually talk about that, too. Talking about, okay, who could he be?
Yeah. Could it be Athamas? Could they actually be referring to Nauta? Could it be somebody else that we don't know yet?
I think they're just talking about Athamas.
They reference the fact that, oh, it's a shell now. Meaning, like, okay, he's not in that shell. So, like, you know, keeps moving on, maybe picking new hosts. Maybe that's why he's in the plant now. Needs a new shell, so they're starting something new for him.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe episode 5 tonight will answer some questions, but I said
that's what I said about episode 3.
Episode 4. And, you know.
It'll answer one question we didn't know we have, and then ask 15 more.
Yep. And if this episode continues to do the vague thing, I'm not out because it's only 6 episodes, so I'm not wasting my time, but I'm just going to be like, all right, I've had enough.
All right, what if it's so vague because the other season is actually happening concurrently?
And we're going
to
see
they're,
actually,
so
no,
having,
that's a good question.
So we're getting half of the story. Maybe Japan's getting the other half of the story. And neither of us have any idea what's going on.
That's really bad story writing. I'm just saying.
I did write about this for our must pick, and I do think that by the time this episode goes up, you'll see a review of it. But I think the show that really surprised me, and I think it may be one of those anime comedies that we're going to be talking about for years to come, that's Hinamatsuri. Which, it's interesting to point out that the guy who directed it, Kei Oikawa, also did Uma Musume at the exact same time.
It's impressive.
It is very impressive. And considering that we have two shows that are like totally different, but showcase the same level of quality in storytelling and character development. I mean, when I first started watching this show, I initially thought it was just going to be about, like, you know, these psychic girls and using their powers and everything to survive their new settings and surroundings. Well, for the most part of Hinamatsuri, these girls don't even use their powers. They're just trying to adapt into their new surroundings, and it's pretty amazing. There's this level of character drama and development that you see through both the characters of Hina and Anzu, where you have Hina being raised by, you know, the Yakuza, like the Yakuza guy. And then you have Anzu, who starts out living as a homeless person before being brought in by that couple who runs that restaurant. And then you get to see these two different perspectives of how one's upbringing adapts their sort of mindset, where, like, Hina is basically getting everything and gets to go to school, but she kind of takes advantage of, like, just about everything. So all she does is eat and sleep because she doesn't have to worry about anything else. Whereas with the character of Anzu, with her growing up here on Earth as a homeless person, she understands the importance of being grateful to one's upbringing and one's surrounding, and actually learns a lot. When I did my review for Hinamatsuri, I initially didn't think that I was going to be diving as deep as I did with the whole character development aspect of the show. But it's so amazing. And not to mention that, like, the comedy in this series is stupendous. And the way it ends, I'm really hoping that it does wind up getting another season. Because it does hint on what's to come, especially when they jump a couple years into the future. So if you have not watched Hinamatsuri yet, you have to. It is one of the biggest surprises that I have, that I experienced this year.
It seems that there's a trend going on with a lot of the shows that we were talking about, having them all ending with something looking to the future and creating new seasons. I wonder, because remember how back in the day when every anime was only 13 episodes and they ended it at 13 episodes because they didn't think they had any chance in the world of creating a second season? Now every single show is trying to get it so that they get a sequel?
No, I agree. You know, sometimes you get 13 episodes or 24 episodes, and that's it. And then they expect you to either keep on reading the manga or keep reading the light novels to see what happens next. But people who live in other parts of the world who don't get the manga or the light novel, they're realizing, maybe we should be telling the story more so for that audience.
Well, speaking of next seasons, we have a whole next season to talk about. And there's a whole bunch of sequels amongst that season as well. We're talking about, like, the next season of Fooly Cooly. We're talking about the next season of Attack on Titan. There's a new Overlord.
I went through the Annie chart list, and oh my gosh, there's so much green on it. And it's like, oh, this is going to be brutal because there's going to be so many shows to watch.
What do you mean green? Just for
On any chart, you can mark a show green, yellow, or red as I'm definitely watching, maybe watching, or not watching. So I just go through and mark everything that I want as green when I find a show I like.
Are you definitely watching the Isekai?
No, I did not actually mark that one, and I should, and I probably will check out the first episode just to also just hate it. But there are so many shows that pique my interest that this season that I'm really just looking forward to seeing what the season has to offer.
Well, I'm really hoping that some form of semblance for Fooly Cooly comes together. Hoping that there's going to be something in there that's good and kind of brings the whole thing together. Because, man. Well, so for me, as excited as I am for volleyball and badminton, I think the show that I'm most excited for is Cells at Work.
I've heard a lot of really good things about that show.
Yeah, I love... I mean, this is... Again, this is Japan's attempt of let's make everything a waifu. It's just like, your blood cells are waifus!
I was actually going to say, hey, it's Anime Osmosis Jones.
Yeah, it's basically... And so, like, the show centers around a red blood cell girl who is a delivery person, and she delivers oxygen to the brain. And I'm like, this is so brilliant. I can't wait to watch this. Like, what an amazing premise. And there's this white blood cell who is, you know, like that anime action cartoon guy, and he just kills viruses, and there's pictures of him covered in blood. I'm so excited.
My wife who's inside me.
Hey, guys. She sounds like my type.
Oh! What? Oh, man. High five, Derek.
Yeah.
So the series is directed by the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure director.
Is it?
Yeah. So we're going to be getting that really over-the-top, you know, input into whatever's going on here. And that's why we have that white blood cell character, you know, who's so over the top and killing viruses and stuff like that. Yeah. No, I saw a single trailer for it, and I too think that it's going to be a lot of fun.
So I've always, we have panels like My Wife Who's Not Weird, and I'm an artist and I draw humans, and I'm an organic artist. Yeah. I'm always drawing people. And anatomy fascinates me. I've always been fascinated by the brain. I've always been fascinated by the human body. I've always been fascinated by the way it looks and how it moves and how it functions. I love it to death. So having movies like Osmosis Jones and this, Cells at Work, I love concepts like this because it makes me think about the way the human body works, but in this
cartoon,
fictionalized personification of it, and it makes it so easy to understand because the human body is complicated as hell.
Do you have like this mindset where like, what if like the blood inside of us is like communicating with one another? Like every single little blood cell is actually talking to one another.
Technically, like inside out with proteins.
You know, yeah, and it's like inside out, you know, like just like that, where it's just like, what if your feelings had feelings, And so I'm super excited for Cells at Work, even though we have beach volleyball and badminton coming on. And I'm just like, oh.
Can we talk about this real quick?
Because we're on this streak of really awesome sports anime.
Yeah.
Based on sports that shouldn't be this awesome and amazing.
Yeah. Except I love watching beach volleyball every Summer Olympics.
Yeah, Summer Olympics beach volleyball.
For the wrong reasons.
No, for all the right reasons and the wrong reasons. So that one's going to be fun. Obviously, duh, it's girls in bikinis playing beach volleyball. And hopefully it's good. Hopefully it's good.
Yeah, hopefully it's good.
Hopefully it's not going to be something like we were hoping Keijo wouldn't be.
Yeah, so Keijo was bad. And I hope it's not Keijo, which I don't think it is. I'm hoping this is legitimately beach volleyball.
At face value, this looks like it's going to be Haikyuu on the beach.
Really? I actually think it looks like it's going to be trash.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think we're going to get Keijo, but I hope we get Haikyuu.
Okay, so the badminton one, Hanibado, I thought that one looked like trash.
Really?
Yes. Even though the trailer was very convincing about how good the animation was.
Oh my gosh, the animation looks so good.
Like, I haven't seen 2D animation like this in a long
time. It's very
rotoscoped. Not rotoscoped as in like they drew over it, made a rotoscope animation.
As in they did 3D first and then they
went
over
it. They didn't even go over it. They filmed it and they just did frame by frame, drew that picture and animated like the reference. So,
and this is from Lyden Films, the guys who did the Berserk movie trilogy.
That makes a lot of sense. No, wait a minute. I thought that was the Harukana Receive, the volleyball one.
No, no, that's a different one. No, that's C2C that did that one. Okay. Yeah, Hanibado is done by Lyden Films.
Is there CG in Hanebado? Probably. Well, that's probably how they did the rotoscoping.
Well, because
it
looked like Harukana Receive was 3D and Hanebado was 2D.
That's the reason why I said why Evan, you mentioned the Berserk films, and I was wrong. It's actually the Berserk TV series that Receive is working on.
Yes.
So.
No, no.
From the trailer, they may have been very smart and been like, okay, these were the best parts that we animated in the show. The rest of it is crap.
Yep.
Let's put all this stuff in the trailer.
Right.
They could have done.
And then everything else is going to be like.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's just an amazingly animated show.
Yep.
So we'll see. So,
and then we'll be like, why couldn't you do this with Berserk?
Yeah.
We like boobies better.
But going back to Hanebado for a second, have you seen the main character, the short-haired character girl? Like, and they really emphasize the size of her chest when she jumps up to do a spike.
Yes.
On the birdie.
That kind of looks like Tracer from Overwatch.
Yeah. Yeah, they really focus, like, they're focusing on the animation real well, and that includes the chests of the females who are in this show. So, I mean, like, are they deterring from... Are they just trying to animate realistically, or are they deterring from the fact that they're making a badminton anime? I don't know, but I'm going to watch it.
But it's making them feel...
Well, I would have watched it anyways. If they just animated it really well and didn't focus so much on the sexual aspect of sexualizing badminton, I still would have watched it.
Mm-hmm.
They got to realize that they can do that stuff. How about the one that's Angels of Death? I saw a trailer for that one.
Which one's that?
It's the one where the guy is wrapped in all bandages and he has the scythe. It looks bloody and gory.
I actually got the video game version of that sent to me the other day to review for our website, so hopefully I'll be able to cover that soon.
Really? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. That one, right there. This one.
Oh, this
one? So there's, like, this girl who has no emotions, and she's stuck on all these floors, and on each floor there's a serial killer of some sort. I didn't really get the whole gist from the trailer because it was in all Japanese.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't even see this. I wasn't even really...
Well, Crunchyroll's gonna have it, so...
Oh, okay.
So that one seems pretty interesting, but it's weird because the trailer was like all serious and horror and stuff like that. And then at the very end of the trailer, there was this one super D chibi joke moment.
There's no comedy in the tags for it. So
there was a part that was funny. There was in the very last second of it, there was a part that was funny.
So it was kind of like that trailer that came out for Dropkick on My Devil, which is premiering this season as well, where it's super serious, but then they're like, no, wait, this is what the show is actually going to be like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm psyched for Dropkick on My Demon. That looks fun.
Yeah, that looks fun. Yeah, I've been looking forward to that since it was first announced. Just the premise alone is really cool. But I would say for the one that I'm really looking forward to, it's a show called Chio's School Road, and it's basically about this girl who's trying to get to school each day, but something keeps her from getting there on time every moment.
Yes.
And I see pictures of it, I've seen like trailers for it, and it looks hilarious. Like Nichijou level of hilarity it seems to be pushing.
Oh, hearing Evan say Nichijou levels of hilarity is a pretty cool sign. Never thought I'd ever hear him say that.
So, is this a short show?
I don't know. It's Dial Media. It could be either a 12-minute show or a 24-minute show.
Yeah, it's probably between a half. It could be a 15-minute.
Yeah.
Wait, if you scroll down, does any chart actually have a short section? Like,
they do.
It's not in there.
But they don't count 15-minute shows.
They don't?
No.
Oh.
Those are in full-length shows.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Attack on Titan Season 3 is coming out.
Yep.
Attack on Titan Season 2 was really good. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what... Because I don't read the manga to Attack on Titan. I probably should.
One that I've been reading about, and this could be, like, super terrible, but it could also be really funny, and that's Backstreet Girls.
And that's
the one about the three Yakuza who are forced to have sex reassignment surgery and become pop idols.
I have absolutely no interest.
Well, Daisuke Ono plays one of the people who has to be forced to have the sex change, so I'm going to watch it for that, because usually Daisuke Ono doesn't sign on for anything that's crap.
I don't know about that. I've seen him do some pretty bad ones. I've just been like, is that Daisuke Ono? That's weird that he's in this. But he was like a very small part.
Right, but this is a lead part.
Right, yeah, I know. But yeah, no, I don't have any interest in that show. I did see that this season, but I was just like, pass.
I think it'll be funny.
What was the one that you were... See, the thing that I'm worried about, it's an ecchi show, and I'm just like, those are dudes. I was like, no thanks. What were you talking about, this one, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah, the spirit one.
Yuagiso no Yuna-san.
Yeah.
Which I've read a lot of amazing things about the manga. Apparently, it is to spirit as Monster Musume is to Monster Girls. So really? it's gonna be ecchi, but it's gonna be hilarious.
Cause I watched the preview to it, and I just was not impressed. The animation looks bad.
I haven't seen any.
It looks bad. It looks like that kind of really lazy, hey, we're Studio Arms animation.
Ooh, we haven't heard the name Studio Arms in a long time.
I don't think Studio Arms is around anymore.
Nah, for good reason, probably.
All right, well, speaking of original storylines, I'm reading this and I'm falling in love with it because you know how sick I am of, like, the whole male protagonist and, like, a girl falling into his life and, oh, how do I gotta, you know, deal with this girl? Well, listen to this. Aikawa Susuke is a part-time worker who lives in a rundown apartment. One day, he hears a creaking sound from his ceiling, and suddenly, the resident of the apartment above his, Unyu Sunao, falls through a hole that appears in his ceiling onto his bed. Thus starred Susuke and Sunao's comical life of living together.
which one is this?
This is called Joshi Ochi Tukai Nikai Kara Ero Musume da Fute Kite Ori no Are ne.
!!!
That because, sounds like a light novel title.
Because I'm excited manga. And I have questions too.
Let's see what the English title is. Well, apparently it's an adult manga, so maybe it's...
Oh.
Ooh. Oh.
Episodes at minutes.
So one of the shows that I have marked here that I don't know how I feel about it, and I don't think anybody's licensed it. I just kind of saw it, because it also, on AnyChart, has no genres. It's called Island.
Yeah. It's based off of a video game.
Yeah, it's based off of a visual novel. So that's a little bit different because it could be based off of a video game, but this one's based off of a visual novel.
Yeah, and it's from Studio Feel, who did Hina Matsuri this past season and also did Outbreak Company and Dagachi Kashi.
Yeah, it's there's three girls from each of the families on the island. A guy washes up on the shore.
So it sounds like a less humorous version of Nagasarate Iranto.
Yeah, kind of, pretty much. Like Nagasarate Iranto or Nagasarate Island is. So good. It's the perfect harem, or it's up there with the most perfect of harems. This is not really a harem, I guess. This sounds like a visual novel. Like, this sounds just like an animated visual novel. Kind of like,
I really hope that it's like One Room.
Oh my gosh, One Room 2 is coming out.
Yeah, what? Season 2.
No way. Yeah. No way. It's so funny that you say
watching
that.
Watching it.
I watched the first episode of the first one, and I was just like, I will get in trouble for watching this. Yeah, One Room
Moshi 2. Moshi, it's the fucking police. It?
No, this one.
That One Room 2.
What's that one?
One Room second season.
Yeah, I know. I like that it's called One Room 2, and it's just... includes episode 0. All right. I get to watch pedophiles. Oh my gosh. There's this one next to it called this is the one that
Joshi Ochi.
Yeah, that they were calling about where, yeah.
Why are there two girls on it?
I don't know. Okay, so I might end up watching an isekai in this season because we have which one's the one where like there's the cat girl and the elf girl? And they both summon this.
Oh, how not to summon a demon lord?
How not to summon a demon lord?
Which I've heard really good things about.
I saw the trailer for it, and it did look kind of funny.
Which one is that?
That one.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. So there's like this really, really big boobed elf chick, and there's a flat chested cat girl.
I did see cat girls, so I was just like, oh, okay.
And like they both try to summon a demon lord at the same time, and it turns out to be this dude who plays an MMORPG, and they fight, and they both fight over which one summoned him. interesting. I like that concept. I like that premise.
Yeah, and it's completely tongue-in-cheek and so funny.
But that's kind of the same premise as The Familiar of Zero. Because that was the whole thing, was they're at this witch school. Mm-hmm. And it was... I thought that it was hilarious, because it was like, oh, they're at this witch school, now they're at the part where they have to summon their familiars. Mm-hmm. And everybody's summoning, you know, like, birds, owls, and then she summons a guy. And yeah, it's just like... That's hilarious. Like, her familiar is just this other person.
Yeah, but wasn't that show bad?
No,
Familiar Zero is really good. The dub for season one was terrible, but...
I watched all four seasons of it, and it's just a harem. Mm-hmm. It's a harem series. And, you know, because it's like, oh, here's the maid girl, and she's desperately in love with the main character. But here's... And here's the main girl, and she hates him because he's so tsundere and bosses him around, but she's the one that falls in love with him. You know, it's just like, ah.
Right.
You know, so it's frustrating, but it...
It's a Rie Kugumiya that plays the tsundere, who plays Eloise, by the way, who is the queen of tsundere, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Now, I am looking forward to High Score Girls, which is...
The one about the...
Cool.
That one looks really funny.
Yeah, JC staff, and it's about sixth grade girls who, in 1991,
yeah,
who go to arcades and play video games.
I know. I had that on my list. I'm pretty thrilled.
Why not, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty...
They've already name-dropped Street Fighter 2 as one of the games.
Then I am in.
Did they
except
really?
It's not Street. It's not Super Street Fighter, because that one didn't come out until...
93.
Yeah, so Cammy is not
so
in
Cammy
it.
So Cammy will not be in it, yeah.
Womp womp.
My wife...
So that means you're allowed to have a new crush in this game because there was no Cammy yet. So she wasn't born yet.
Actually, that's not true. Cammy was born in the 70s, I believe. She's like, I think she turned 44 this year or something like that.
When does the point of inception or conception for a video game character start?
I don't know.
When the creator says that they've been birthed.
There we go.
Which always confused me about the Tekken series is great, but the one thing that they got wrong is that my favorite character, Paul Phoenix, is 20 in the first two games. He's 20 and then 21, and then in game 3, which happens a year later, he's 43.
Yeah, well, because Nina Williams gets frozen, so she doesn't age, and then Paul does. I think that's where the confusion is. I think because Nina doesn't age, but Paul does, and it's because Nina got frozen and Paul did not. So
that's some Tekken history for you. I don't know if you care about that, but me and Jonathan know about that because Tekken's our favorite fighting game. So
I'm bad at it, but I like Street Fighter.
Oh, well, I'm good at Tekken, and Tekken's my favorite.
I like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Actually, speaking of fighting games, I've been playing the Dragon Ball Legends mobile game, which Evan appropriately corrected my scoring. I was going to give it a 3 out of 5, but it gets 4 out of 7 stars. It's literally every single other mobile game you have, plus basic point and touch interface. Ooh,
yeah,
punch.
The,
ooh, blast.
Yeah, the gacha system.
Did you see the Clueless Gamer on Conan O'Brien about it?
No.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we
actually
watched it
what
last
got
night.
Me to download it.
It was really good.
Really?
Which I actually shared it to the Wicked Anime page on Facebook because it was like, wow, they're like really giving anime a decent shot. It's not like anime's the punchline. It's like they're making jokes while playing an anime game. And Conan O'Brien is like really into this. Like,
I can see Conan O'Brien as somebody who likes anime.
Yeah,
I think when he was over doing the Tonight Show on NBC, there were actually a couple of recurring segments where he and Andy went over to manga studios and redubbed like Ghost in the Shell and a couple of other anime.
I do remember that. Yeah, they went to Bam Zoom.
Yeah,
they went to Bam Zoom.
Oh, yep. I think the bigger anime fan out of that duo, though, was Ron Funches. Because I love how he's trying to introduce Conan to the different characters and just nonchalantly goes, oh, that's Goku. He's a horrible father.
But then, and then Ron Funches and Conan did their Super Saiyan charge-ups, and then they played the game, and then he had Funches do a Super Saiyan lose charge up. It's like, now do a Super Saiyan charge up, but you just lost the game.
And is there some crying?
Yeah.
As a Super Saiyan. Yeah. I love Ron Funches. He was like one of the biggest reasons why I kept watching this show at midnight, which was a great like post Daily Show Stephen Colbert, whoever it was after the fact, or what was the show afterwards?
Larry Wilmore was there. Then there was The Opposition, both of which rest in peace shows. Both are canceled.
Yeah, nothing could really follow Daily Show after Stephen Colbert left. But at midnight, I thought was great. But Ron Funches like was one of the best contestants on that show because he has that sort of sass that he's this level of sass that no other dude I've ever seen has.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Right before we go, I do want to make mention to something that is pretty important to how much we hate anime. And it's this season Masamune's Revenge is getting an OVA.
Okay.
Ugh.
Yeah. Did anybody actually finish the series?
No. I finished it.
You did?
And
you did?
Man, what a... Yeah, dude, it was like... If that show Seven Mortal Sins didn't come out last year, that Masamune Kun's Revenge would have been my pick for worst anime of 2017.
I wonder what the OVA is going to be about then. Yeah, I don't know. It's coming out. But it's one of those special episodes that's bundled with the 10th volume of the manga.
Yeah,
and it says it will tell an after story for the manga. So that means that the manga's ending. So the manga's ending, and the OAD that's coming out for it is going to be the after story of that. So that's an interesting thing, is that they're actually ending the story.
It's not going to change the fact that it was a shitty adaptation.
It's true, but it's a really interesting thought, right? Because that means that it wasn't just a show that went on, was pointless. It means that they actually went on to finish the story, and then it has an ending, and then they're actually doing an epilogue, which is really interesting to think about, as bad as the show was. Because I don't want to bring up the show again and talk about everything that was wrong with it, because that was like 2 years ago. What?
No, it was last year.
I can't believe it was last year. Yeah, where it was just like, oh, like the whole point was the revenge of the show, and that was hilarious. And then it's like, oh no, they're actually going to fall in love with each other, and then he's going to choose the wrong girl. You know, what is this, Toradora? You know.
Although the difference is Toradora was really good.
Toradora was really good, but he still chose. Okay, what is this?
He did still chose the wrong girl, or rather, the girl rejected him because she thought that he actually had feelings for her. But then he's like, oh, that's not true. Wait, okay, I guess I do like the other girl.
Watch it and find out, people. Toradora is really good. What, you know it's not good by the same creator? Golden Time.
Golden Time. You made... Here's the thing. I thought Golden Time was a good show, but then you made me hate that series. Because it was like, no, that... Oh, fuck. They actually... No. Oh, my God. You're right. This is horrible.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of love-hate shows, and I feel like this is going to be a show that I really think that we need to revisit when it finally ends, and that's Darling in the Franxx. There are weeks when Darling in the Franxx is awesome, but then there are weeks when Darling in the Franxx is fucking terrible.
I've been taking it for what it is, and for the most part, I enjoy every episode I watch. Me too. Because I know that every episode... Because from the beginning of Darling in the Franxx, when Darling in the Franxx first started, I was very much on the side of, this show is only okay.
Yeah,
and then it kind of has like a bell curve, where it's just like, oh, it's only okay. It's really good. It's only okay. And then, you know... And I think it's gonna end okay,
yeah.
But overall, it averages out to be a good show.
They could have ended it at episode 22. I really think that they could have. Like, I don't know where they were going with it. And then I watched episode 23, and I said,
No, they're good because it's Studio Trigger. Studio Trigger is very much on board with we're gonna tell an original story and we're gonna end it. So they're going to give it a proper ending.
Yeah, but I thought it did end, though. Like,
Not really at all.
Like, it was the most anime episode where, like, they had anime beams and everything. And I'm talking about, like, story plot ending anime canon. Boom! You know?
Oh, maybe I didn't watch it then.
And I made the point when we were chatting back and forth, and I feel like Studio Trigger is a studio that works better when it works alone. Because then you've got this other studio, A1 Pictures, who usually does a great job with its stuff, like with interviews with Monster Girls and Black Butler. When you have two studios working together, then you're getting conflicted ideas tossed in, and it's going to force both studios to have to compromise on something. And because of that, you're not going to be getting the full force of one studio or the other studio.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. All right.
They decide to go to space.
I know they decided. They actually did decide to go to space. I do know that. Oh, yeah. He's just a creepy old professor who likes little girls, and he discovered, like, you know, the Kalarnosaurs.
Or Kalaxis. And mix them up with Chemical X.
And, yeah, and, you know, he's a pervy, I don't know. It was weird. It was weird. It's Professor Utonium.
Yes.
What? Well, I mean, in a
he's
certain sense.
He's created the perfect ingredients for three little
girls.
Yeah,
cups. But Professor Utonium's a good dad. Like, he's, that's like, true. You can throw this professor in dad space of, like, Narutoans and Goku.
He did not get a tie.
No, he did not. He was a dad who did not get a tie. Professor Utonium did, though.
Yeah.
He got many a tie. And
all
a
right,
pipe. Back when you could have fathers smoking pipes on Cartoon Network shows.
It was just a black toy hammer that he chewed on. That was all.
Fun fact about cartoons in the early age, though. He did have the pipe in his mouth, but there was no smoke coming out of it.
Yep.
That would have made it adult.
And the pipe never actually touched his mouth. It was just floating
yeah,
in front
floated
of
in front. Okay, anyway.
Does Professor Utonium have a pipe in the new Powerpuff Girls?
No.
Canceled?
No. No pipe.
Oh, interesting.
Actually, he has a gas mask bong.
Jeez.
You know, with the twerking bubbles, I am not... I wouldn't be too surprised if that was the case.
Oh, that all made me feel sick when you said twerking bubbles. That,
yep, there's an episode where bubbles twerks.
That makes me feel gross.
It does, and that's why I stopped watching it.
Oh,
come on, girls!
Like
the gangrene gang says they
yeah,
have some
I thought you meant
legs.
Like you know the Naruto bubble ninja showed up and like and the bubble started twerking, but I was like ah that's kind of you know topical, but it's actually bubbles. But
so you know what's not gross. All the season anime that you are all going to watch. If you're going to watch any new shows this season, let us know what you... let us know what you're going to watch, or let us know what you want us to watch so you don't have to. That's always an acceptable answer.
And we won't watch it.
Yeah.
We won't watch it for you.
Nope. It'll probably take us weeks, years even, to watch the shows that you want us to watch. Or you could just select the ones that we're already going to watch, and we'll say, yeah, we watched it because of you. We'll make mm-hmm. you feel special.
That's right.
And where can they send us that info?
If you guys want to chat with us about what the new season of anime has to bring or, you know, what we could talk about for Darling in the Franxx or whatever, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime where we post news and updates and any kind of funny news articles and topics that we want to talk about, as well as you can chat with us in the Facebook Messenger. We like to do that from time to time. And then, of course, you can find us at nerdyshow.com if you're not already listening to this podcast over there. You can also find it at iTunes and
Stitcher,
Audio Boom, and Podchasers, and all that kind of good garbage mm-hmm. for podcasts and everything that you like about podcasting. And also at nerdyshow.com, you can find our videos for that. But we prefer you go find our videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. Where we have videos in production, because he has no excuse. That
getting married.
Yeah, and getting married. So you can find us at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where you can subscribe to us and you can hit that little notification bell and bookmark our page because YouTube is weird and doesn't actually show you what you want to see anymore.
I hate YouTube's new interface.
Oh, YouTube is just owned by Google, and you know it's the worst.
It's trash.
I really want to make a Fooly Cooly video now. I want to collect my thoughts together, and I want to make a really great Fooly Cooly video.
Yeah. And then you can find us at all the other social medias. You can find us at Twitter. You can tweet at us like everybody else likes to do. You can find us at Tumblr, kind of. You can find us on Twitch, where, man, I've been getting a lot of mileage out of Steam. I've been playing Agorist War, and that's a good anime game.
Oh, I've also been playing Disgaea. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, those are both tactical RPG games. Disgaea would be a great game.
No, Disgaea's fantastic.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. It is. It's really anime, really funny. I love the animation. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful game.
I gotta see this.
Yeah. There is a there's a new version coming out that's for the Switch and PS4. It's a remake of the original Disgaea. And I think they're going to be adding more animated scenes to it. It looks fantastic.
I just bought the old Disgaea. Why would I want to buy the new Disgaea? That's a remake of the...
I'll buy the new Disgaea, like when it comes out for PS4.
Yeah, Etna is quite waifu. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever watched the anime version of Disgaea, the one that came out in 2006?
No, I was actually told that it's really confusing unless you've played the video game.
It is, but it's still pretty entertaining.
Okay.
I like the anime version of it.
I've considered it. I have considered it, but that is I don't know if I have some time, which I don't. We'll go to Twitch.tv/WickedAnnaPlay, and I'll be trying to play some Disgaea for you guys, or maybe some Agorist War. I don't know, and I can chat with you there. And that's about it. Evan.
All right. So, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you are in a band and want to be featured on the No Borders, No Race podcast show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at kingbabyduckesh, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and hopefully soon we'll be doing more video game streaming at twitch.tv/omnistryinc now that we're settled into the apartment. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more fun now. You can like us on facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and on facebook.com/Land of Ash. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Ash, including the Electric Sisterhood, Felix Recap and Review, and Smashbook. And guys, what a month we've had over at Boston Bash Brigade. We were quoted 3 times in the back of manga volumes.
I know.
We got to interview the creator of Aspie-chan. Mm-hmm. We got to interview Frank Turner, who is Cuckoo Kangaroo's number one fan and one of the greatest singers and songwriters of the 21st century. And hopefully, by the time this episode airs, we will have interviews with Noodles and the Pillows.
Yeah.
Guys, Evan's show's doing way better than ours. Go listen to his. What are you even still doing here?
Well, speaking of which, episode 200, which will be out by the time this episode airs, hope you'll listen to it, because we will have Andrew and John Starr on this episode. Yeah. It'll be the first time that they're going to be at our homestead, the B3 headquarters, or whatever you want to call it. And hopefully, too, knock on wood, our buddy Tyler Abstract from Abstract Japan, the other Boston-based J-pop Japanese music show, will be on that episode too.
Cool.
Very good. Derek, what about you?
Awesome. Well, you can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, at Lead4Derek. You can also find me going around, because Abandoned is a Pop. I was actually found by Muriel, who lives in the middle of nowhere, with her husband used his bag. But creepy stuff happens in nowhere, so it's up to me to save my new home. Stupid dog, you made me look bad.
Ooga, booga, booga, booga.
Very good. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Wicked Anime. We will be back in a couple weeks to give you a brand new episode of Wicked Anime. And now we will sign off the only way we know how.
K-Bye! Yeah, next episode will be like a follow-up of, okay, here's what we're watching this.
Next episode we'll talk about the Pokemon library, the Pokemon sale happened, and Game 3 was like, you want not all your money. I bought stuff out of your business.
Right? You
got a girlfriend yet? No, I didn't.
You have to live stream that when that comes out.
Well, I've been playing Frostpunk. Frostpunk has been the game, and it's so depressing and sad and stressful, and that's how I have fun.